Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. I want to encourage you not only to be present, to come out, but to invite someone to be with you. Bring somebody with you so that they can hear of the goodness of the Lord for not only for us, but for them also. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We've been looking at these verses for several weeks. If you need an outline, please raise your hand. The ushers will serve you. They'll give you one. There's just a completed outline. Brother Lavelle, they have the outlines. Okay, they're gonna. Okay, yeah. So when they come back in, then I have the people raise their hands again, so they have one. It's a really a completed outline, so it's not. There's space for you to make some notes, but so we'll start reading the scripture. Reading first from the New King James Version, and then we'll go to the New Living Translation. So they'll put that on the screen. I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus reasoned. He could print you out something that you could use for later on. But we had typewriters. Everybody else had typewriters at their desks. I think the IBM Selectric 2, I think it was. I think, and that was considered to be just, that was the top of the line back then. Most of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But that was it, you know. And if you had an IBM Selectric 2 typewriter, as my grandmother would say, you were cooking with gas, you know. You know, and I know most of us don't know what that means. You know, when people had wood stoves, and then when they began to have gas stoves, wood stoves eventually became obsolete. But so many people, that most people had wood stoves, where they had to learn how to not only make the fire, but how to manage the temperature of the fire in a wood stove. And they were very good at that. And so when the gas stoves came about, a lot of people were afraid of them, a lot of people didn't want them, and they resisted them, but eventually what happened, the wood stove gave way to the gas stove. And so most people have gas stoves, or electric nowadays, too. You have both, you know. But and so when they would say, you're cooking with gas, they mean you done moved on up, you know. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some people don't, I know, because it's hard to imagine a world that you didn't live in. You know, that was before you. It's hard to imagine that, you know. And so now we have, you know, you've got PCs, people have some people have more than one. We've got our cell phones. And, you know, I say sometimes if we got transported back in time, and you had a cell phone, they'd burn you at the stake. Because they would say, that's witchcraft. That is, well, you know, you're talking into a phone. You're talking into this instrument. And then there's people there. And you go back 400 years, we know you can't. But if you were, we would, you would be considered not only strange, but you would be considered just a person. It wouldn't be a good life for us. If we had to go back to no air conditioning, pull the air through. And it was fairly comfortable. But now I don't think that would work. Because we are accustomed to something different. Our bodies have adjusted to the convenience of this time. And so even though the weather may have changed in some ways, in some ways it may not have, it wouldn't be the same for us. Amen. Anyway, so I start off saying that we want a better life. And Paul is speaking about that, not so much that he's looking for today, the fifth one. They sometimes will think that they are. And it's almost like instinctively they can just kind of, they can do it. And some people don't even have to read directions. They can. There are other people that are more analytical. None smarter than the other. They just have different strengths. You see, you know, I got saved in a Pentecostal church, and so we didn't believe in you smoking, drinking. There's growth. So realize we have no hold of me. Number three, we've got number four, pride. And it's when they see it, you know, you find that you can begin to tweak some things. You can begin to add to it. But so you have a goal, but the goal has to have a plan. There have to be action steps to it. And we won't go into all of that, but you got to have, okay, how do you want to get there? Well, I want to be a doctor. Well, how are you going to get there? You're going to have to go to school. And part of that plan is going to involve you selecting a college. And, you know, you select, there's going to be some already established courses you have to take, but then you got to have some other courses that you might take. Then you're going to be a doctor because there's different fields. There's pediatricians, there's gastroenterologists, there are cancer doctors, I think they call them hematologists, I believe. You know, they have geriatric doctors, they have general practitioners. There's all different kinds. And you have to determine where do I want. You want to be a dentist? You want to be eye doctor? I have a habit. Sometimes I don't do it all the time, but sometimes if I go to one of my doctors, and just out of for the sake of curiosity, I said, doc, what made you want to become this kind of doctor? Because, you know, you got your general practitioners, you have cardiologists, and so it's interesting. And then they're always kind of happy you asked them that. And they'll say, well, you know, my dad had issues, and my dad died with this when I was a little boy. And I always said I wanted to do something to try to help, maybe make sure other people didn't go through this. So that means as a little boy or a little girl, something happened, and they realize, you know what, I want to do something about this. And so they, or maybe they had a cousin. Well, my father was a doctor. My mother was a doctor. I've met people where I have one doctor. He's a doctor and his wife's a doctor. But they didn't get there just by wanting to. They had to have a plan. So that is whether they wrote it down specifically or it was just in their head. But there had to be things they had to plan. But planning is not enough. It's not enough. And that's the mistake that people think. Well, I got a plan. But you got to work the plan. You got to work the plan. Desires will not get us. It's not going to get you nowhere. You can want whatever you want, and they can be very noble, noble goals, noble desires. You will never get anywhere in life just because you want something. You're going to get somewhere in life because you want something, you develop a plan of action, and you work the plan to get there. Nobody gets a job just because they want a job. They don't. You got to do something. You got to put some feet to your prayers. I'm praying and I'm asking God to do this. But what are you doing? You can't make it happen yourself necessarily because God has to smile on you. God has to bless you. God has to give you favor. But you're going to have to do more than just want. And when you begin to make plans for what you want, and some jobs you're never going to get. I don't care how much you want it if you don't get some training, some experience, some education. And when I say education, I'm not saying necessarily a college degree. What I'm saying, you need to be qualified to do the job. You know? And if we don't do that, then you can die wanting. And you see so many people that they don't have goals, they don't have plans, and they don't work their plan. Or they have goals where they want something, but they don't have a good plan to get there. Do you not know, if you look, let's look at our prison systems. Some, I don't care what you think about people, some of the most brilliant, most intelligent, some of the smartest people are in prison. They're in prison because they chose the wrong line of business. That's why in a lot of cases. They chose the wrong, you know, some of them, would they be millionaires. You take people that are drug dealers. They're running a business. And some of them are good at it. We may not agree with the business, but they're good at the business. They got it planned, they got it organized, they had their meetings, they all that, you know, and the top guy, he running everything. So he knows how to manage and lead people. He's just in the wrong business. And if he could just channel that brain and channel his goal to make money, channel his goal to be wealthy into a positive direction, he'd be successful and we could see a whole lot. But for whatever the reason, sometimes it's environment, sometimes it's self-esteem, it's all kinds of things. And sometimes, maybe people realize because sometimes it's been the family business. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And so that's all they know. You don't have to be a part of the family business. You don't have to. I decided, I think I was 16 years old. My dad and his father before him and my couple of my dad's brothers, they did hauling. They'd go around, pick up junk in neighborhoods and alleys, move stuff, and they would take it to the city dump, St. Louis City Dump. That was the family business. My grandfather made good money doing that. It supported him and his 8 kids. And so my father and 2 of his brothers, they were in the family business. And so I decided one summer, myself and my brother Greg under me, we decided we're gonna work this summer with Daddy. Well, summer job, we're gonna make some money working with Daddy. And so we walked from our house on Laverty over to Daddy's house on Couples. We got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to meet at Dad's house at 6 o'clock. So we could go and work with Dad in the family business. And so here we are. We get on the truck. We're going down the alleys, picking up this stuff. That part wasn't so bad. But we got to the city dump. To the city dump. And then so we gotta unload this stuff. And then you walk in. Among all this trash and garbage and all of this stuff, I said, this ain't for me. I said, I'm not going to be a part of the family business. I said, no. I made up my mind then. I said, I'm going to school. I didn't like getting dirty then. I don't like getting dirty now. I said, this is not for me. Now, Greg, on the other hand, I worked a week, maybe 4 days. I didn't go back. I found me another job, another summer job. He worked the whole summer. He didn't mind. Now, he didn't join the family business either. He became a licensed plumber. So he was positioned to make good money. But the thing is, we have to begin to take the brains that we have and use them in a way that can make us successful in our own personal lives, but also in the things of God. We have to do that. And so you got to have a plan. You got to work your plan. Number five, we're going to end with this one today. Apply yourself diligently to the goal and task. Paul says, verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I press. That means he's putting very concerted effort towards the goal. He's not just being haphazard. He's not just doing something just in kind of a lackadaisical way. He is focused on this, and he is really going after it. Number one, he has to pursue. You got to pursue the goal. Pursue means to run after, to go after. It doesn't just simply mean to look, but you have a target. You're focused on it. You go after it. It's like an animal after a prey. They pursue it. And if you ever watch any animal, whether you see it on a documentary, or whether you see it sometimes in real life, if you happen to be out certain places, you can see sometimes animals chasing another. You can see a cat chase a mouse. You can see a dog chase a squirrel. And they're relentless. So you want to pursue your goal. The next thing you want to do is you want to give it all you have. Give it all you have. Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 11, 6 says this. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently means to search out, to investigate, to really crave. You want this thing really bad, so you're really going after it. And God rewards those who really, really. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. I want to encourage you not only to be present, to come out, but to invite someone to be with you. Bring somebody with you so that they can hear of the goodness of the Lord for not only for us, but for them also. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We've been looking at these verses for several weeks. If you need an outline, please raise your hand. The ushers will serve you. They'll give you one. There's just a completed outline. Where's this? So when they come back in, that I'll have people raise their hands again, so they have one. It's really a completed outline, so it's not, there's space for you to make some notes, but the points are already there. But anyway, Philippians chapter 3, so we'll start reading the scripture, reading first from the New King James Version, and then we'll go to the New Living Translation. So they'll put that on the screen. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's look at the New Living Translation now. The same verses, New Living Translation is a more modern translation. so we can you can see how it says it in just a traditional way, and then there's a way that we can hear it the way we speak. Did they have bring those in yet? Okay. All right. So they ran out. Okay. All right. New Living Translation says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So there is a reason for God laying a hold of us. There's a reason for God reaching out to us. There's a reason for God calling us to Him. And so Paul says, I want to know that. I want to begin to understand certain things. We started talking about some suggestions for a better life. Suggestions for a better life. Now, we may have a life that's good.